Well, again, this evening hour, I appreciate your presence, your interest in the Word of God, and your desire to not only learn more of the will of God, but to be able to carry out that will of God in your life. And again, I think it is so appropriate that we remember our numbers that are away traveling, this being the time of year when the schools take a break, and those of us who are here, we want to devote our entire attention to our service to God and the uplifting of one another. And with that in mind, then, I would ask if you would to look at just two verses of Scripture, and those verses being verse 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. It reads like this: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The book of Hebrews makes it abundantly clear. It has been suggested that very probably these Hebrew brethren that are being written to, possibly there in the homeland, where the church in the beginning was established in Jerusalem, these brethren had been Christians now for between some 30 and 40 years. They were not babes in Christ to whom the letter is addressed. And one of the things that we are going to be reminded of in our brief study tonight is the fact that these brethren really needed encouragement. They needed to be lifted up. If they miss heaven, what have they missed? Well, they've missed everything. But they had gone through so much, and they needed to have some kind of joy that would be given to them. They needed, if you were, would, to be renewed in their strength and in their faith. We'll mention a verse or two later in the lesson, I think, that will make this even clearer to us. But we say, as was the case with them, so it is the case with us. If I miss heaven, after all is said and done, I've failed. I've missed everything. But we realize whenever we have that recognition of the importance of our living so that we can be saved in heaven, there's an awful lot of things along the way that could cause us to fail. Temptations, sin, discouragement of, discouragement on every hand, and finally, just falling away altogether. There were some of these Hebrews that we are told that had happened to. They had fallen away to such an extent they could not even be renewed to repentance. Grave and needful warnings that are given. I want to invite you, though, at this time to look especially at the second verse again. Here, these Hebrew Christians are invited to to look at Jesus. So it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrews had never yet had to suffer in the way that Christ had suffered. No matter what trials you and I will go through, no matter what the temptations may be, no matter what the disappointments in life may be, we are not going to be called on to endure all that the Lord endured. I don't know whether you have thought along this line or not. How did Jesus endure the cross? What a terrible, what a painful way to die. I can just hardly imagine it. It sends shivers up and down my spine when I try to picture all of the pain and all of the agony that was involved. And yet the Scripture tells us here that he not only endured the cross, he even despised the shame that was involved, a criminal's death. And how did he look at it? He just said, I don't care. I will endure the cross. I will even despise the shame. And there is another phrase, though, that I want us to think about that is found in this verse. How did he do it? Well, the Scripture says that it was for the joy that was set before him. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? For the joy that was set before him. How could there be a joy in dying on the cross? How could there be a joy in despising all of the jeering of the hateful crowd? Well, Jesus recognized some things that I believe every one of us need to recognize. The joy that was set before him. What was that joy? Well, we can say, first of all, the fact that Jesus could say, I'm accomplishing the very purpose, the very mission that God has sent me to earth for after all. In John chapter 12, Jesus went through this in his mind. He said, should I pray to the Heavenly Father that this cup might be taken away from me? But then he immediately replied, but it was for this very hour that I was sent. From the beginning of his ministry here on earth, Jesus knew what was going to happen. What is going to happen? Well, all of this is leading up to the point where I'm going to be put to death. When that happened, Jesus had to say, it is finished. I have accomplished the work that you've given me to do here on earth. What wonderful joy is set before the individual whenever they carry out the task that is assigned to them. Oh, but there's so much more. You stop and think about it and you know it. So there's so much more. What was he doing dying on the cross? Oh, he was dying for us. Now, we say that. We said that over and over again. How many people was he dying for? Well, every person that lived on earth without limitation throughout all of the sacred ages of time that would roll, Jesus his death, what was it doing? It was securing salvation for every individual that would lift their eyes and look on that cross. And then what else? He was purchasing heaven. He was purchasing heaven. How can you and I even talk about the hope of heaven? How can we even contemplate that this world, this life is not the end of it? The reason why we are serving him is because, yes, there is that anticipation of heaven. Jesus knew, just as surely as he was dying on the cross, he knew, I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. He knew that. I laid down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. He knew that that was not the end for him, for the joy that was set before him. He knew he was going to be raised again, and he knew something else. Having accomplished the mission, the work that God had sent him to do, he was going to go back to the Heavenly Father. He was going to go back to all of the glory. No, even more. Even more. He was going back to sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father as Lord of lords and King of kings, having all power and all authority over everything for the joy that was set before him. Now, what can we learn from that phrase? I think that we too need to recognize that whatever is in front of us, if we have that joy that is set before us, as it was for Jesus, don't you know it's going to help us to overcome everything? Let's think about the different things that might happen. Well, for the joy that is set before us, it will keep us from sin. You know, Satan is so busy trying to get us to sin. Over and over again, the New Testament scriptures make it so clear. Christians are not exempt from sinning. We're not exempt from temptation. And for the joy that is set before us, I thought of a scripture. Look at 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter 3. And, Peter is talking about the joy that is set before us here. Beginning with verse 12 of 2 Peter 3, and we'll read through 14. He says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All right, so what? Well, verse 14 tells us, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Why, there is such a wonderful future that awaits us when the Lord decides time is up. And what's going to happen? This whole world is going to be burned up. And you know, there are people all over the world today. You can watch the television programs. They are so besotted with themselves on, after all of the world is destroyed, will you survive? I want to guarantee you, you won't. All right, forget those silly programs. But there is coming this day when this whole world's going to be burned up, and people say, oh, horrors. No, no. For the joy, For the joy that is set before us, we say, you know what? There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And do you know what that means to me? I need to turn away from sin. I need to. Whenever we're tempted, brethren, whatever may be that temptation of the flesh, think about the joy that is set before you. That's exactly what Peter is saying here, I think. In view of these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. How wonderful, wonderful it's going to be when our Lord comes back and he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, why, that follower of mine, they're without spot, they're blameless. Well, that's the way that we want to be. Well, what else will this joy that is set before us, what else will it accomplish? Well, it will help us to endure trials. That's what it's going to help us to do. This world is full of trials. I had mentioned that the Hebrews, they were weary. Do you ever get weary as a Christian? Maybe the first thing you say is, oh no, Brother Tope, we should not ever let that happen. But we do. There are times when we are just exactly like these Hebrews. Here in Hebrews 12, why do we say that? Well, verse 3, he goes on to say, for consider him, that's Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. But notice, come down to 12 and 13. Here is such a strong figure. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Can't you just see those Hebrew Christians? Here they come into the place of meeting. And how are they looking? They're looking hangdog. They're just 80. They can't lift up their hands. They can't straighten out their knees. He says, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. There will be trials for Christians. First of all, we've already mentioned this idea of temptation. But in 2 Timothy 3, and verse 12, Paul says, yea, and all, that's everybody, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The world really hasn't changed. We get, I don't know, maybe a little bit lopsided whenever we think how bad the world is. And we say, oh, you know, why is it that we can't make greater progress in reaching people in the world? Why can't everybody in America recognize that these gross immoralities now that are being boasted of, why can't everybody recognize that's wrong? And we know just as surely as we're sitting here that if we speak out against these current sins, we know we're going to be spoken against. Where will it stop? I don't know. Will there come a time in America whenever it will be unlawful for us to meet in a public assembly like that? You know, there are places in the world where Christians can't meet like we meet, can't have a church building, can't have any of these things. What will we do? But more than that, what are you doing right now? Trials, disappointments. Well, we've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared. Going back to that parable that you know so well, the parable of the sower. Here's the stony ground hearer, Matthew 13. And here he is. The seed falls on his heart, and the scripture says, with joy he receives it. Oh, you've seen people like that. They hear the gospel for the very first time, and their faces just light up. And they receive that word, they say, I can't hardly wait to obey it. You know, the picture then turns to a great sadness. That individual does not put down any roots of faith. He does not grow. When persecution and trial comes up, because he has not put down any roots, he hadn't grown, and as a result, he falls away. That happens. That has happened, that will happen. But you know what? If you hang on to the joy that is set before you, that's not going to happen to you. Brethren can betray you. People in your family can treat you so ugly. There are just all kinds of things. Maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe there will be a divorce. All kinds of bad things happen, and they happen to Christians. We're not immune. Well, how do we overcome these trials? For the joy that is set before us, because we're not just looking at the here and now. We're not looking at people that betray us. We're looking to heaven for the joy that is set before us. I know you're thinking with me. It will prevent us from falling away. Many are lost. Many Christians are lost. It's going to give you the reward that you look for. Don't ever give up. How much is heaven worth? Well, Paul said in Romans 8, he said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time. Are you suffering as a Christian right now? Or have you gone through that period of time? Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be considered or compared with the glory that is to come, the glory that is before us. Can you picture heaven? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, we need to think about heaven every day, of its joys. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. There's not going to be any sinners in heaven. That's one reason why we want to purify our lives here and now. There will not be anything that will defile whatsoever. Heaven. But heaven is promised to you. It has been secured by Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. Keep your eye on Jesus and keep your eye on the goal. That's what we want to do. Do you have that hope of heaven? Keep it and secure. Brother Jeff, lead us in that song, and won't you come if we can help you?